Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, entitled, chapter 25, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text 12.
Vibhudha Sura Gandharva.
Vibhudha Sura Gandharva.
Vibhudha Sura Gandharva.
Muni Siddha Naruragha.
Muni Siddha.
Siddha Naruraga
Vijita Suryaya Dikshu
Vijita Suryaya Dikshu Kvanayantya Ivanupurahai Kvanayantya Ivanupurahai
Buddha, learned, Asura, the demons, Gandharva, the denizens of Gandharva Loka, Muni, great sages, Siddha, the denizens of Siddha Loka, Nara, the inhabitants of the earthly planets, Uraga, denizens of Nagaloka, Vijita, captivated, Suryaya, by the new bright, Dikshu, in all directions, Kwanayantya, tinkling, Eva, only, Nupurai, by her ankle belts. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. While Shatadruti was thus being married, the demons, the denizens of Gandharvaloka, the great sages and the denizens of Siddhaloka, the earthly planets and Nagaloka, although highly exalted, were all captivated by the tinkling of her ankle bells. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Generally, a woman becomes more beautiful when after an early marriage she gives birth to a child. To give birth to a child is the natural function of a woman, and therefore a woman becomes more and more beautiful as she gives birth to one child after another. In the case of Shatadruti, however, she was so beautiful that she attracted the whole universe at her marriage ceremony. Indeed, she attracted all the learned and exalted demigods simply by the tinkling of her ankle bells. This indicates that all the demigods wanted to see her beauty completely, but they were not able to see it because she was fully dressed and covered with ornaments. Since they could only see the feet of Shatadruti, they became attracted by her ankle bells, which tinkled as she walked. In other words, the demigods became captivated by her simply by hearing the tinkling of her ankle bells. They did not have to see her complete beauty. It is sometimes understood that a person becomes lusty just by hearing the tinkling of bangles on the hands of women, or the tinkling of ankle bells, or just by seeing a woman's sari. Thus, it is concluded that woman is the complete representation of Maya. Although Vishvamitra Muni was engaged in practicing mystic yoga with closed eyes, his transcendental meditation was broken when he heard the tinkling of bangles on the hands of Menaka. In this way, Vishvamitra Muni became a victim of Menaka and fathered a child who is universally celebrated as Shakuntala. The conclusion is that no one can save himself from the attraction of woman, even though he be an exalted demigod or an inhabitant of the higher planets. Only a devotee of the Lord who is attracted by Krishna can escape the lures of women. Once one is attracted by Krishna, the illusory energy of the world cannot attract him. Interesting topic today. Om Kyana Timrandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Yam Dadati Svabharantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasri Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, it's clear what it is all about today, about sex, about women, about calm, lust, and about the weakness of man. So maybe the woman represents Maya, but the man represents the weakling. Srila Prabhupada said, women are like fire and men are like butter. Women are good and men are good, but together it becomes a strange thing, molten butter. So Srila Prabhupada also says that sex enjoyment is the highest pleasure in the material world. And the love for Krishna is actually changed into lust. And all the males in the material world, they want to take the position of Krishna. And they want to... The highest thing in the spiritual world becomes the most perverted thing in the material world. And the highest is actually the love of the gopis for Krishna. And even Parakiya Rasa, or the rasa, which means that married women become attracted to Krishna. So that is considered to be abominable in the material world. But all these pleasures, Srila Prabhupada explains, spiritual pleasure, which seems to be like ordinary sexual relationships between male and female, these relationships are very pure on the transcendental spiritual platform. In the Krishna book, which is a summary of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada deliberately explains very much these things. So, but in the material world, everything is perverted. And Lord Chaitanya, he also says that when a man is interested to go back to the spiritual world, to make spiritual advancement, then he should not even look upon the wooden form of a woman. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that when someone becomes entangled in sex life or family life even, then that is compared to a deep dark well. Sometimes in the meadows, in the grass field, there is a hole, which is called a manhole, and which is covered by long grasses. And sometimes when someone is walking there, he falls into that hole. And then nobody will be able to find him there, and he is not able to get out. So in the material world, we are like that. We become very much entangled in material life. And the main, the strongest entanglement is actually caused by sex desire. Then one develops from that all other desires. Like illicit sex, for example, causes all the other illicit activities. It's all very much interrelated. So Srila Prabhupada also says, okay, that one I already said, in the 16th chapter entitled Divine and Demonic Nature, Krishna explains that sex desire is a demonic quality, and the demons are very fond of it. So, but even, you know, we can see here in the verse today that demigods are also victim of this. And so to be able to make spiritual advancement, one has to have the knowledge, the understanding that how problematic it becomes if one becomes lusty and gives in to the sex desire. Srila Rupa Goswami says, udarapasta vegam, we have to tolerate this, the pushings of the genitals, you know, that also. But of course, it starts very subtly in the mind. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, vyavasayatmika buddhir ikiha kurunandana. One has to have great determination and great intelligence. We have to have knowledge, we have to understand. Therefore, I would like to read just some passage from this book, Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness by Bhaktivikas Swami. Here, there is a part where he explains sex, the cause of unlimited suffering. So that is quite a statement. Of all kinds of suffering and bondage arising from various attachments, none is greater than the suffering and bondage arising from attachment to women and intimate contact with those attached to women. This is from the Bhagavatam, from the 11th canto. Because the experience and urges of sex are so intense, and the syndrome of man-woman relationships surrounding it is so complex, it diverts the conditioned soul's attention away from Krishna consciousness and deludes him more than any other trick of Maya. Sometimes the foolish conditioned soul experiences great delight in enjoying sex. At other times he is frustrated and burns in the fire of lust. Or, when spurned by a lover, he suffers mental agony, sometimes so severe that he is driven to kill the loved one, or himself, or both. The loss of a partner to whom one may be intimately, emotionally attached by death or other means leaves the remaining partner with a broken heart. And especially in our most abominably degraded modern society, thousands of people's lives become shattered by having their bodies exploited either forcefully or tactfully by others. The greatest myth in human society is that sex is the cause of happiness, and that by adjusting or increasing one's sex life, one can find happiness. Factually, the opposite is true. The more one becomes involved in sex, the more he becomes entangled by the complexities of the actions and reactions of material life. Ultimately, this leads to unrestricted enjoyer to take birth in the animal kingdom, where he is awarded approved facilities to carry on with his sexual activities and with minimal restrictions. Birth after birth, he can enjoy 8,400,000 varieties of sex to his heart's content. He will also experience varieties of birth, death, old age and disease, and he'll never be happy. On the physical platform also, sex is debilitating and can be dangerous. Sensual enjoyers forget that. The body, which is the vehicle of sexual pleasure, is also the vehicle of pain, disease and death. Ravindra Swarup Das, he made this statement. It takes 64 drops of blood to make one drop of semen. So much life energy, prana, is lost in sex life. Rapid breathing during sex also shortens one's life. The number of breaths a person will have in his lifetime is fixed at his birth. Therefore, yogis practice breath restraint to prolong their lives. Then there is the danger of sexually transmitted diseases, which are extremely painful and nasty. Okay, the last passage here. Furthermore, to extend that a person becomes interested in sex, that much he loses all good qualities. Srila Prabhupada states, sex life is the background of material existence. Demons are very fond of sex life. The more one is freed from the desire for sex, the more he is promoted to the level of the demigods. The more one is inclined to enjoy sex, the more he is degraded to the level of demonic life. And the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 20th chapter, verse 23, I think this was that. Yeah. A lusty person becomes not only keenly interested in sexual enjoyment, but in all other forms of sense gratification also. Although such people may generally appear to act fairly reasonably, actually they are all self-centered and selfish. One loses also compassion if one is absorbed in sexual thoughts. They are after what they can get for themselves. The Srimad Bhagavatam therefore analyzes that non-devotees, materialistic people, have no good qualities, even though they may appear to have. They are simply suffering and causing others to suffer. In a mesh of greed, envy, and mutual exploitation, with just the veneer of social civility. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. This is especially evident in the modern me generation. A whole society raised on consumeristic greed and lust with no higher moral than get what you can grab. Okay, there's a lot more in this book here. It's not only good for brahmacharis. Sometimes it is said that the grihasthas are also brahmacharis. Any Vaishnava, any devotee is trying to get rid of sense gratification and develop pure love of God. So now I can tell a story, the story of Sobhari Muni. Sobhari Muni was a great rishi. Wow, the time goes really fast when you're in this Srimad Bhagavatam class. Sobhari Muni was a great rishi. Once upon a time, in the days of yore, in the wonderful holy place of Mathura, there was a great king living, King Mandata, and he had 50 daughters, beautiful daughters. And he was the king actually of the entire world. Then Mathura was the capital of the world, it seems to be. Yeah, that was before Krishna appeared there, a long time before. And in the river, the Yamuna, there was a great mystic yogi sitting, Sobhari Muni, or Rishi. And he was sitting there for years, under the water, meditating. And he controlled all his senses, and he was in deep trance. And then, at a particular inauspicious moment, two small fishes, they came in front of his nose, And he became distracted by them because they were mating. They had fish sex life. So, because he saw that, a great lust developed in him to also have a woman. So then he came out of the water and he was right in the garden, the palace garden of the king Mandata, and his 50 daughters that were playing in the garden. And they saw this creature coming out of the water, and he looked like a monster, because when you are underwater for many years, you turn green, and there will be all kinds of plants on you. His hair were all entangled in the seaweed, and all kinds of little animals were crawling in there, and he looked really, and he was very old already. He was so old that his head was shaking, and yes, he was very, very old, and he looked really scary. And all the girls, they started shrieking and run away to their father. And then he thought, I am an old yogi, I'm not handsome anymore, and oh, which woman will be attracted to me? And he went to the king and he asked, I would like to marry one of your daughters. And the king said, that's all right. Any of my daughters can choose the husband of their desire. And then he said, they don't want me. They were scared to death. They were all hiding themselves. So then he decided to use his mystic powers and changed himself in a very handsome person, very young and beautiful. And then all the girls became immediately attracted to him, and they started quarreling, fighting with each other. No, that is my husband. That will be my husband. And then he accepted them all. So he married 50 women. And then, by his mystic power, he needed a griha, a house. So he created this incredible house, which was very, very, very opulent. Everything was in there. Beautiful furnitures and carpets, and there were maid servants, female and male servants were there, all dressed in beautiful, opulent garments and jewelry. They were decorated, and around the palace there were gardens with plants and mango trees and ducks and swans in clear lakes with ponds with lotuses and lilies, and all kinds of happy bumblebees were buzzing around, and birds were chirping, and some deer was nearby, and peacocks were dancing, and it was the most beautiful place. Even professional singers were singing beautiful songs, and in the background you would hear the chirping of the birds and the buzzing of the bees. Oh, it was beautiful. So he had great sense gratification with 50 beautiful women like Apsaras. And so, but still, after some time, he became frustrated and unhappy. And he said, and one day he was in a secluded place, and he sat there, and he said, I have everything that a man could desire, but, still I'm not happy. He says, lust is something like, no matter how you satisfy it, you will never be satisfied. Just like putting drops of fat, like ghee or oil, on a fire. The fire keeps increasing, So, similarly, I am not happy, although I have everything. So then he decided to renounce, become Vanaprastha, enter the forest, start performing austerities again. And the women had no way to go, so they all followed him. And actually, he went back to the spiritual world. But of course, this is a long, long story, a wonderful story. It only warns us, what can be done, to be careful. Don't look at fishes sometimes. Even that can be dangerous. It's only our mind, isn't it? The mind is like making up all big stories and fantasies. You know, the mind is thinking, feeling, and willing. So the mind is like an artist, you know. You know, I'm a little artistic, so I know what it is, the mind, the mental platform. So you start to linger on sense objects, on experiences from the past, and the mind is great. The mind could be one's friend or one's enemy. So therefore, what a pity that we don't have much time. Krishna is giving in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he gives the problem. He analyzes very systematically how it all works with lust. And there's something else I wanted to say. Srila Prabhupada, he made a statement: the women class are seen as a source of inspiration for men. In that sense, they are more powerful than men. An example is that Julius Caesar was controlled by Cleopatra. And so there is a statement: behind every great man, there is a great woman. So this is something positive. This is something positive. Because anything in the material world could be negative or positive, isn't it? So also, in the beginning, we heard Prabhupada say that the woman is the source of Maya, you know, the cause of Maya. But also, it could be very positive if it is used in the right way. And in Amsterdam in 1977, Surabhi Swami came there. He's the architect. He's Dutch, and he's the architect of all the great temples in India, Krishna Balaram Mandir, the Bombay Project, Mayapur Project. And he came there in Amsterdam and gave a class. And I remember what he said. It's a long time ago, and it was so funny. And he said that if women did not exist, then man would do nothing. They are the inspiration. And that is interesting too, isn't it? Yes. And Srila Prabhupada also said something. Because there was a problem in the beginning days with the sannyasis and the brahmacharis. They were all complaining, yeah, these grihasthas and these women, they are abomination and this and that. And there was something, I don't want to get in too much into details. And then Srila Prabhupada said, they are not women, they are devotees. So actually, there is a verse in the Gita where Krishna says, Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini, that shunichaiva svapaki cha pandita samadarshina, that the real pandit, a real learned person, he sees everyone with equal vision. The learned, the gentle brahman, the cow, the dog, the elephant, the dog eater, and of course it doesn't mention women there, but we could add it, you know. You can see there is no difference. The soul is the same, maybe. So we have to respect that also. So there is this dilemma. So a brahmachari should be very careful. Women are dangerous, Maya. But at the same time, he should see them as a mother, and a mother is very respectable. So you have to respect. But you see there actually. They are devotees. Like the gopis are the highest devotees. Nobody is more advanced, so that is like a female devotee. So, and the Bhagavad Krishna accepts the devotion of the Shudra, the Vaishya, and the woman who are considered lower class. So in generally, in the mundane sense, when people are conditioned, that woman is considered to be more conditioned. You know, sometimes it's said they are seven times more lusty than men. But this is when they are mundane, when they're conditioned, they are unfortunate, when the soul takes a female form. But if someone becomes devoted to Krishna, then immediately Krishna accepts. He doesn't see, he doesn't consider. And So there is this verse, Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. That is the solution. The solution is that it is very hard to defeat Maya, and the test is always there. And ISKCON, we can see also many devotees have problems, sometimes even sannyasis, what to speak of us. Yeah. So then, but the solution is, if we just surrender to Krishna completely, then he is the supreme controller and he can help us. There is also the verse Param Drishvani Vartate, that if we develop the higher taste, if we really develop a taste for hearing and chanting and remembering and serving and association and prasadam and kirtan and whatever, preaching, and then we become so saturated with Krishna consciousness that it's easy. It's not even interesting anymore to a devotee. So that's it, that's all. Very simple. So just become more involved and just get more into it. Become more enthusiastic and be determined. Try over and over again if you fail. Don't be discouraged if we fail sometimes, because for many millions of lifetimes we have only this one lifetime we will be successful. Thank you very much. I went on 5 minutes too long, so I don't know if I'm allowed to give some questions or remarks. Yes. Yes. That's also true.
Because women give birth.
Definitely, yes.
So I also had this argument this discussion, about marriage and having children and things. And if people didn't get married and have children, we wouldn't have a population.
Right.
So they said that was a good thing, but I wasn't completely convinced. So I don't know. Right.
Of course, so the Vedic society is there. There is also Brahmachari, then there is all very important, then Grihastha Ashram, very, very important. And most people will become Grihasthas. Only a few will stay Brahmachari forever. So it's very important, and it's like the cornerstone of society. And Krishna-conscious children have to be raised, and in this way the whole world will be purified. And it's a very great responsibility. And so for the Grihastha, lust doesn't mean that no sex life. So for him it means that to have sex life according to religious principles. And that is completely... Yesterday, that was explained, that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am sex life, which is not against the religious principles. So that is not considered to be lust, but it is devotional service. Okay. Yes?
In connection to that, Prabhupada said also that family life is the impetus for economic development.
Oh, yeah. So don't get me wrong today, in this class I don't want to inspire everyone to become a Naishtiki Brahmachari and for the married people to take sannyas immediately. No, everything has to be done in proper perspective, and Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.